The Truth News Network. Mainstream news, for the most part, cannot be trusted. Want the truth?
And nothing but the truth?
It's here every day at the Truth News Network. Here with today's truths is Dan Newman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TNN, the Truth News Network. Our podcast today titled, What Do We Do? There are reported 5 to 10,000 Central American people just north of the Guatemala-Mexican border in a caravan headed towards the U.S. southern border. Their intention, to storm the U.S. border to gain entry into the United States. Think about that. A large group of foreigners is planning to en masse enter the United States illegally in hopes to obtain permanent residence. If you put that fact in context during the first 150-year history of the U.S., it certainly would be viewed as an unbelievable paradox. Paradox defined, an argument that apparently derives self-contradictory conclusions by valid deduction from acceptable premises. Just imagine how American leaders during the first century of this nation would have treated this move from the South. They would certainly have viewed it as an attempt to invade our sovereign nation, and therefore would have taken defensive actions to counter it, even military action. In the circumstances currently controlling the U.S., what are the American options? Close the southern border? Pressure Mexico and Central American countries to stop immigrants before they get to the U.S. border? Legislatively, in congressional emergency session, if necessary, fix the immigration system. What are the ramifications and possibilities of each? What do we do? Well, let's take a quick look at the past. Americans facing illegal immigration, and not too long ago. Senator Bernie Sanders in 2015, quote, when you have 36% of Hispanic kids in this country who can't find jobs, and you bring a lot of unskilled workers into this country, what do you think happens to that 36% of kids who are today unemployed? 51% of African-American kids. I don't think there's any presidential candidate, none, who thinks we should open up the borders. Bernie Sanders said that. Senator Chuck Schumer, when asked his stance on changes in immigration, quote, I support further securing our borders, prohibiting hiring of undocumented immigrants by requiring job applicants to present a secure Social Security card, and creating jobs by attracting the world's best and brightest to America and keeping them here, requiring undocumented immigrants to register with the government, pay taxes, and earn legal status or face deportation. That's a quote. Source of that, League of Women Voters 2010 candidate questionnaire, and he answered it on August 11th of 2010. Senator Schumer's 2010 stance on sanctuary cities and regulation of immigration. Again, we're quoting the senator from New York, quote, to create a reserve fund to ensure that federal assistance does not go to sanctuary cities that ignore the immigration laws of the U.S. and create safe havens for illegal aliens. The border wall opinions of Democrats, including then-Senator Obama, as a senator, Barack Obama once offered measured praise for the border control legislation that would become the basis for one of President Trump's first acts as president. Quote, former President Obama when he was a senator. The bill before us will certainly do some good, Obama said on the Senate floor in October of 2006. He praised the legislation, saying it would provide better fences and better security along our borders and would help stem some of the tides of illegal immigration in this country. Obama was talking about the Secure Fence Act of 2006, legislation authorizing a barrier along the southern border passed into law with the support of 26 Democratic senators, including party leaders like Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, and Chuck Schumer. And then there's that other well-known leader in the Democrat Party and the senator, Dick Durbin from Illinois, who says President Trump's use of the term chain migration is offensive and racist to black Americans, said something entirely different previously about chain migration. In 2010, Senator Durbin advocated on the Senate floor for ending the process known as chain migration, whereby newly naturalized citizens can bring in an unlimited number of foreign relatives to the U.S., a term that he now claims insinuates racism. While asking Congress to pass the expansive and failed DREAM Act amnesty, which would start by legalizing millions of illegal aliens, Durbin touted the fact that the legislation at the time would have ended chain migration, preventing newly amnestied illegal aliens from bringing their extended family members to the U.S. Quote the senator, "The DREAM Act would not allow what is known as chain migration," he said. "In fact, DREAM Act students would have very limited ability to sponsor their immediate family members for legal status." When one reads the above bullet points from America's recent political past regarding illegal immigration, it is impossible to believe this entire story is not set up strictly for political purposes. At this point, it is fruitless to point fingers, to place blame on who is responsible for the obvious travesties that have been perpetrated in the American immigration system. What we need are some real answers, real plans, and real implementation with real accountability. It is safe and accurate to say that illegal immigration laws and their lack of enforcement can be put at the feet of Presidents Obama, Bush 43, Clinton, Bush 41, and even as far back as Ronald Reagan. Now think about it, folks. The administrations of those presidents span 28 years. These presidents, during the collective years of their presidencies, each claimed an intense desire and a commitment to tackle illegal immigration during their administrations. Guess who tackled it? Not one. They each were against illegal immigration during their campaigns for initial election and re-election, but did nothing to stop it during their administrations. Who is going to do that? The answer to that question is simpler than you may think. The only ones that can do anything about it are those in the United States Congress. Unless you toss the Justice Department into that basket with Congress, and the DOJ can't do anything unless Congress gives them laws that are enforceable and then gives them money to enforce the laws. You see, there are plenty of immigration laws on the books that previous Congresses have passed and were signed into law by previous presidents. The exclusive problem at our southern border is a product not just of laws, but the enforcement of existing laws. The Justice Department is woefully inadequate in the enforcement of U.S. immigration laws that are on the books now. The hands of Border Patrol agents are tied. ICE agents are prohibited from taking all actions necessary to seal the southern border and bring offenders to justice for illegal entry. And internally in the U.S., finding those and prosecuting those that are already here. Illegals have learned, primarily from smugglers, that U.S. border immigration courts are covered up with cases and that those courts cannot possibly process all illegal crossing perpetrators, which means those waiting for court dates are allowed in the general population in the U.S. and are seldom ever prosecuted. Congress refuses to provide the necessary funding to even make a dent in the illegal immigration problem that initiates at our southern border. There are not nearly enough Border Patrol agents, ICE agents, immigration courts, and immigration judges holding in detention centers for illegals while they're being processed. And the big one, funds to build the border wall. Congress can do all of the above. And this president has given Congress the framework for an immigration bill that, when signed into law, would do all of the above. But apparently, there are not enough of those in Congress, Republican and Democrat, who have the political will to support President Trump in doing what he promised voters that he would do during his campaign, and that American citizens largely support. Stop illegal immigration by first closing our southern border with a border wall. When we come back, we're going to get into that. A border wall at the southern border of the United States. That's just ahead at TNN, the Truth News Network.
We're here asking people from all over what they think of Lipton green tea. Let's hear what people from Texas have to say.
Mm-mm.
How about China?
Mm.
Germany?
Mm.
How about people from the North Pole?
Mm.
Or Mars? What about mimes? Oh, right. People with their jaws wired shut?
Oh.
Yeah, a barbershop quartet.
Mm.
Mm. Oh, you guys are great. How about race car drivers?
Mm.
Yeah, what about you, high school glee club, here on a field trip? Well, that settles it. It sounds like everyone loves the taste of Lipton green tea. With its protective antioxidants from real tea, it's not just good for you, it's mmm to you. Lipton tea can do that.
Undeniably the go-to source for nonpartisan spin-free news from the world. TNN, the Truth News Network, puts it all together for you every day at truthnewsnet.org.
Back at TNN, the Truth News Network, Dan Newman with you. We're going to talk about a border wall now. Globalization was supposed to tear down barriers, but security fears and a widespread refusal to help migrants and refugees have fueled a new spate of wall building across the world, with a third of the world's countries constructing them along their borders. When the Berlin Wall was torn down a quarter century ago, there were 16 border fences around the world. Today, there are 65 either completed or under construction. That's according to Quebec University expert Elizabeth Vallette. From Israel's separation barrier, or apartheid wall, as it is known by the Palestinians, to the 2,500-mile barbed wire fence India is building around Bangladesh, to the enormous sand berm that separates Morocco from rebel-held parts of Western Sahara, walls and fences are ever more popular with politicians wanting to look tough on migration and security. In July of this year, Hungary's right-wing government began building a 4-meter-high, that's 13 feet, fence along its border with Serbia to staunch the flow of refugees from Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan. We have only recently taken down walls in Europe. We should not be putting them up, was one European Union spokesperson's exasperated response. Three other countries, Kenya, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey, are all constructing border fences in a bid to keep out jihadist groups next door in Somalia, Iraq, and Syria. 7 miles of the barrier have already been erected along the border at Rehanli town in Hatay province, the main point for smuggling and border crossing from Syria, the private Dogan news agency said. The fence in Turkey will eventually stretch for 28 miles along a key stretch of its border with Syria. But the Turkish wall pales in insignificance when compared to the multi-layered fence, which will one day stretch 600 miles from Jordan to Kuwait along Saudi's border with Iraq, a line of defense against ISIS. There is no doubt that border walls do not absolutely stop those who live on one side wanting to get to the other side. And somehow, some will always be successful. But when one objective considers that 65 countries either have or are building walls or fences on their borders to stop illegal entry into their countries, there are obvious reasons and benefits for governments and their citizens to spend the huge national resources necessary for doing so. No doubt the U.S. border with Mexico presents tremendous security challenges, and that a traditional brick-and-mortar wall does not make sense for part of that border, at least. But a significant portion of it, according to experts, could be closed with a traditional wall. And that in combination with electronic surveillance and aviation security measures that are available, the U.S. could basically shut down the border and begin to improve our existing legal immigration process to better serve legal immigrants and the American citizens who are already here, including legal immigrants. Don't Americans deserve that from our government? Is it unfair or callous for Americans to expect our government to enforce American laws? And if those laws are outdated, unjust, unfair, and need to be changed, is it unfair for Americans to expect Congress to amend existing laws or implement new, more appropriate immigration laws, and the president to sign those new or amended statutes into law? Isn't that what politicians all say when they campaign? Quote, "The most important role of a member of Congress is to first keep Americans safe." March 3rd of 2017, that's an important day. On this day, March 3rd, 2017, the Truth News Network offered a realistic and workable framework for a plan to fix our illegal immigration process. The offered plan is a skeleton that would need a lot of tweaks and adjustments applicable to each impacted state, because every state that's affected by a border with Mexico or Canada has different needs, but it would be a tremendous starting point. I thought it beneficial to reprint just the bullet part framework of that today as a refresher for you. Point number one, illegal immigrants are granted in this plan a 12-month window to get legal. That get legal means this: they voluntarily register themselves and any family member with U.S. Immigration or Homeland Security. This registration is simply the demographic and identity details for application into this Get Legal program. Upon registration, they'll then begin a formal revised 5-year application for U.S. citizenship. Yes, U.S. citizenship. This process includes the current requirements for citizenship plus a penalty payment of $2,500 per illegal family member to be paid over this 5-year period. Sounds like a lot, but if you've got a family of four, that means they would pay a couple of thousand dollars a year. That's less than $200 a month, along with their normal income taxes due to federal, state, and local municipalities as applicable. To be accepted into this program, they would be required to provide proof of employment sufficient to support all those who are part of each family's application. Upon completion of this process, each is eligible for U.S. citizenship on the same basis as those who have entered the U.S. legally who go through the normal immigration process. If any registrants do not complete the process, including payment of the penalty amounts, they will immediately be processed for deportation and will not be eligible for reentry into the U.S. Let's talk about Dreamers. Those are those who were brought here illegally by their parents. Dreamers will be given a similar opportunity. They will receive a 12-month window to get legal. They will go through the same 5-year application process for U.S. citizenship, but will not be obligated for payment of that penalty. Upon completion of this process, each is eligible for U.S. citizenship on the same basis as those illegals above, and also those who have taken the path of legal immigration. If any Dreamers do not complete their process, they will immediately be processed for deportation and will not be eligible for reentry into the U.S. Any illegals that fail to register in this immigration process during the 12-month period will be, as they are identified, processed for deportation immediately, and also will not be eligible for reentry into the U.S. Any illegals that do not complete the 5-year application process will immediately be processed for deportation and will not be eligible for reentry into the U.S. This process applies to all illegals, including men, women, and children. After the implementation of this program, any U.S. employer who employs any illegals who do not have proof of entry into the 5-year application process will be assessed a $25,000 fine per illegal in their employment. A second offense of such carries a $50,000 fine per illegal. Third offense and any subsequent offense carries a $100,000 fine per illegal and termination of their federal tax ID number, which is required for businesses to operate legally in the United States. This system will be costly, but after a burdensome startup, revenue generated from legalizing these immigrants, getting them into the system in which they pay taxes, work, and create legitimate income that goes into the U.S. economy, financial benefits will more than take care of the startup expense. While U.S. immigration will be charged with overall supervision of the program, it's got to be implemented and managed at the state level. Think about it. There are just too many people affected. The federal government doesn't have the manpower resources to handle it all. Funds for doing so will come through federal block grants to the states. Each state's immigration issues are not identical to other states. Therefore, states know better how to manage the process than does the federal government. Any state found to be non-compliant with any and all process guidelines that must be in this program will not only lose their block grants, but will be subject to further financial penalties and other monies paid to them by the federal government. So let's summarize this whole thing we're talking about today. You know, that caravan full of illegals headed from Central America through Mexico to the U.S. prompted this story today. You know that. Have you wondered who's driving that ship? I have. Who is funding the 5,000 to 7,000 immigrants for that 2,000-mile journey? Think about this. All of those folks got to eat. They all have biological functions that must be met, primarily bathroom obligations. Think about it. In all the pictures and videos, you don't see any portalettes anywhere. There are a bunch of kids in the entourage and medical necessities, too, for all of them along the way. Somebody's paying the bill. Many think whoever's initiating this whole process and whoever's funding this trip are trying to impact the U.S. midterm elections. Now, as of today, we're 13 days away from those elections. They won't impact it primarily in a negative way for conservatives running for office. That's what a lot of people think. But every day, that objective becomes more and more unbelievable. Why? Do the math. A good bike rider could travel about 50 miles per day depending on the weather. Walking, an aggressive goal would be 20 to 25 miles per day, and that's a bunch. At that rate, the caravan can be expected to arrive at the nearest point of the southern U.S. border in 50 to 60 days. That's the earliest they could be expected. If there is an expectation of funders of the caravan of any significant border conflict situation to occur before or during the midterm election set for just 13 days from today, there is no way that is going to be accomplished. There's just not enough time, folks. There must be some other reason or reasons for this caravan. And the other one that has just formed behind it. Yep, there's another caravan formed right behind the first one. You know what? There are probably a dozen or so possibilities of reasons and the timing for this caravan's move north. Sadly, I seriously doubt that any of those reasons are legitimately to help Central and South American immigrants escape dangerous and unbearable circumstances in the countries they're coming from. They've been sold the pipe dream of a land of milk and honey in the U.S. where there is a government with open arms that will not only take them in, but will house them, feed them, medicate them, educate them, give them jobs, and pay them to live in America. Who could be painting such a rosy picture for those immigrants? It could be smugglers, human traffickers, and drug cartels who see these immigrants as goods to be traded and targets too. It could be rogue branches of governments from those countries who are using the pie-in-the-sky dream of the easy life in the U.S. to get rid of many of their poor and possible criminal citizens. It could be members of the Mexican and Central American immigration specialist groups who see the U.S. as a hotbed of financial opportunity for Latinos and who know American laws are certainly going to be changed or at least tightened up in the Trump administration, and they see their honeypot of fortune about to be shut down or minimized at least. Whoever the source and whatever their reasons, you can bet they are not driven by trying to give immigrants a better life as their motives. What's saddest in this entire story is it is doubtful that anyone in the U.S. that is in any way supporting this caravan that on its own is putting the lives of thousands of immigrants at risk every day is doing so for the purpose of helping those people. Sadly, the greed of human nature is driving this boat. Also, sadly, the reason the American border, after 28 years of presidents who each had a good opportunity to fix the issue and who at some point in their administrations had the legislative support to do so, did not take care of the problem. That's not an immigrant problem. That problem is purely an American political problem. And it is certainly politically driven, as is almost everything of importance in Washington, D.C. today. You know that. It's certainly not government of the people, by the people, and for the people. It's for political power, for the politically elite. That's going to wrap today's story. And you know what? This story is going to continue, sadly. Congress is not going to get anything done regarding immigration anytime soon. At earliest, it's going to be after the new Congress is seated after the turn of the year. So we got some more time and more opportunity for more illegal immigration problems at our southern border. We've got our eyes on it. You can always get the facts about illegal immigration and legal immigration by staying with us at the Truth News Network. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back. Sit tight. You have a great day. So long, everybody.
So busy you don't have time for today's news on TV or newspaper? Never fear. TNN has your answer. Download TNN Podcast to your phone. Catch up with the latest news during your busy day. The Truth News Network. TNN. TruthNewsNet.org.